Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Mason, Ready Player One is hotly anticipated. It's a nostalgia trip for the mind and the virtual reality.
I want to be clear, it's not hotly anticipated by me.
Okay, listen, Mason. It's also not hotly anticipated by me. That being said, we'll do this episode of Cave Under Garbage about it because
there's a DeLorean in it.
There's a DeLorean in it, right? What do you want?
Okay, great.
All right?
Nice.
This episode is on.
It's hotly anticipated by many discerning viewers.
Yes. So, look, we thought because the DeLorean probably plays a prominent role in that film, probably.
Mm-hmm.
There's a Back to the Future cartoon from the 90s that we can talk about. It ran for 2 seasons. It's a handful of episodes. It has not the voice of Christopher Lloyd, but he does bookend each episode in live action.
Huh.
Yeah.
As Doc Brown?
No. As the guy from Suburban Commando that he played.
Oh, interesting.
No, it's as Doc Brown. And I'll tell you this, Mason.
Yes.
He's bloody all in.
Really?
He's 100% committed to this.
Okay.
It's good stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not good stuff, but it's good stuff. So this,
No, I never watched this.
No.
But I did read a couple of issues of the comic book.
You got a couple of issues, Mason.
Comic book. Oh, come on, mate. There was a comic book spin-off. From Harvey Comics, creators of Richie Rich, Casper the Friendly Ghost, et al.
Yeah, et al.
Pretty good.
Okay.
Remember an episode where they went to bloody 1920s gangster time?
What was it like?
Really good. What happens in this episode?
Well, Mason, it's set after Back to the Future 3, so
yep.
Doc Brown is hanging out with these time-displaced kids that shouldn't exist. He should kill them. He should kill them.
He should kill
them, shouldn't
they?
Exist.
Yeah. What if at the end of every episode, you know how like you'd watch the G.I. Joe cartoon and there'd be like a lesson at the end? Of, hey, why don't you help an old lady across the road or whatever? At the end of each one of these, he just stands over their beds as they sleep and he's got a rock in one hand and he like contemplates. Every episode he's got a different thing in his hand. He contemplates, got a wrench or whatever. He contemplates killing him. And then it's like, then like a rainbow and it's like, pring, don't kill your kids. Brought to you by the Department for Not Killing Your Kids. Carry on.
So he's got two kids, Jules and Vern,
yep.
I don't remember which is which, but one's an idiot. So
that's a shame.
That factors in.
Is that Clara's fault?
Yeah, but they're both pretty smart. Yeah, she's just from a different time. She's not an
idiot. True, yeah.
She's just from the old West.
Yeah.
Where everyone's just fallen into carts of manure and
that's true.
Whatever else they were doing. Making fun of Nikes and
maybe
Chinese people.
One of the kids is Biff's kid.
Oh, that's very possible.
Isn't it, though?
Yeah, he's through time, isn't he?
Yeah.
Biff or Griff or old man Mad Dog Biff or whatever.
Exactly,
the hell.
Right, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there we go. So basically, he builds this machine,
hello.
Doc Brown. It's called the Propriety Ultrasonic Subatomic Molecular Redistributor.
Okay.
Which basically means it just breaks the particles down of something and it sucks it into it. It's like a vacuum, but it can like...
Did any of Doc Brown's other inventions work?
Well, technically that head thing works.
Yes, right.
Because it makes some very specific predictions about Marty that are kind of vague but may also be
true
or
all
something.
Right. Okay.
But no, generally not.
Okay, good.
Not until he had that horrific fall onto his toilet
That's
seat
true,
or whatever.
Yeah.
Then everything started to come together for
okay,
him.
Right,
so it
all
took
right.
a so all right. If you're a struggling inventor, just smash your head on some porcelain. You'll
oh,
be fine.
Yeah.
And you'll get some time-displaced kids, which you can kill yourself.
That's right. They're like freebies.
That's right. So
anyway, he builds this thing.
To test the Propriety Ultrasonic Subatomic Molecular Redistributor.
Can we shorten that down?
No.
All right.
He has to go 3 million years BC to test it out. Because he's like, I'm not going to test it out in modern day.
What if I might kill everyone?
Yeah, I might kill everyone.
I might kill everyone and my kids, which I don't mind so much, but I'd have to kill all sorts of innocent people.
So while he's driving the DeLorean out with his kids, he nearly kills Marty. He actually gets hit by the car, doesn't kill him. And Marty's like, hey, I got my new music video. Jennifer made it for me, but I'm the star. And they're like, shut up. And they leave him. It's a Marty, mostly a Marty-free episode.
Oh, yeah. How do you feel about that?
I don't like it, Mason, because I don't like his kids. I don't like him.
Okay, right.
Yeah.
Were the kids put in this because they find Marty is unrelatable to...
Yeah,
because
he's surely, like 16 or whatever.
But surely Marty's relatable to children.
No, kids only can relate to other kids.
I guess that's
true.
Kids don't
look up to anybody who's slightly older than them.
That's true.
Look at Jake Lloyd, Anakin Skywalker. Your hero.
Uh-huh, yeah, still.
Still, yeah. That's it. So anyway, they go back there and they get picked up to 3 million BC or whatever. They get picked up by a Pteranodon.
No, I will not let that slide. 3 billion BC and 3 million BC are very different.
Okay, it's somewhere in that ballpark. What do you want from me?
No, that's fair, right?
Yeah. Yep. So they get picked up by a Pteranodon or something, one of the big flying ones. But it's got like a big toucan's beak. It looks like a big bird. It doesn't look like a dinosaur. It saves them from a T-Rex. And they're like, what a good... They give it a name. I don't remember what they call it. Irrelevant, but they name it. That's important because it has a horrible death. So
good, yeah, that's what you do. If you ever done that, what you do is you go to somebody, you can show them a pencil,
yeah,
and you're like, this pencil's name's Gary. He's got two kids, and he's just trying to. He works extra shifts over at the factory to make ends meet for his kids. He's a divorced dad,
yeah.
And they go, interesting, and you just snap the pencil in half in front of them. A lot of people are like, oh, try it at home.
Yeah, absolutely. So. Doc Brown looks up and then he suddenly realizes that he's transported them back in time to the exact point where the meteor hits the earth and kills all the dinosaurs. So what he does, he decides...
And also tying this cartoon together with the TV series Dinosaurs.
Correct. Mm. Well done. Okay. So what he decides to do, because apparently he's an idiot, uses the proprietary ultrasonic subatomic molecular redistributor to...
Could shorten that.
Yeah, need to. No. To pull it from the sky... Ooh. And cancel it out. They're canceling the apocalypse, Mason.
Wow.
Yeah.
Pacific Rim style.
Pacific Rim style. And then they're like, great, we'll go back in time. We'll go back to the future. I'm sure.
Nice.
I'm sure this.
Like in the thank name you. Of like the show. Name, like,
yeah. Sorry, they go back to, what's that movie called that we're going to see? They go back to Ready Player One.
Nice.
I'm tying it all in, Mason.
That's very good.
So anyway, they get in the car and then his son, the dummy, has drained the battery on the car because he's watching Marty's rock and roll VHS.
Nice.
Right? So that's good. And then it's at this point in the series that I realize the episode that I realized that this is also edutainment. And I was you had me going there for a second with your nonsensical slingshots.
I think the comic book was also edutainment, but I could skip those panels.
Yeah, yeah.
So I've learned
this episode. Uh-huh. So basically they explain how to get electricity out of a lemon. Because they charge the battery on the car. So if you ever need to do that, just watch this episode.
If you ever need to fully charge a time-traveling DeLorean, you can use a lemon.
No, it was a series of lemons. They used a few lemons.
Look, I don't mean to be critical.
Yeah.
But this really punches a hole in the logic of Back to the Future 3, because if he could have just powered the DeLorean with lemons...
That's a really good point.
Isn't it, though?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There were lemons in the Old West, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, they all had scurvy or whatever. They're probably eating them like...
Eating them left, right, and
center.
It was
probably a treat to eat a really sour lemon.
That's
you know,
right.
You have a plate of manure, then you eat a lemon.
That's right. Christmas time came around, your kids got a lemon each. Had to eat it sparingly.
A lemon and you knock one of their teeth out.
That's right. All right, maybe they've modified the DeLorean since then.
Sure.
And you can power it with lemons.
Also, the DeLorean exploded. It got hit by a train.
Yeah, it did. This is a rebuild DeLorean.
So I guess it's a rebuild. Yeah,
okay,
I don't know.
Right.
So anyway, they
lemon-powered rebuild.
They go back to the future. They go Ready Player One, Mason.
Oh, yeah.
And lo and behold, who would have fucking thought the future's completely changed because the dinosaurs are never wiped out?
Yeah.
And they built this, like, Earth-ish civilization, but they're all still giant. So they've zipping around their car and they're like, what's going on?
Have they become kind of like weird dinosaur-human hybrids like in the Super Mario Brothers movie?
A little bit. They're more like dinosaurs in clothes.
Okay, sure. I can
work
with that.
You can work with that. And time is being erased.
Oh, come
like
on.
Marty's really good rock and roll tape has been erased.
Oh, what?
Yeah, you know, like in the movie, the Back to the Future movie.
Yeah, no, I get it, yeah.
And maybe
his family photos slowly him being replaced by a series of dinosaurs.
That's it, exactly.
Mm.
And also, because why not, There's a Biff dinosaur. So
of course there is. He's inescapable. Is there any explanation for that?
Nah. Like, did you want one?
Yeah.
Well, there isn't.
Did a dinosaur have sex with Biff's ancestors or something? Caveman Biff?
My understanding is that, because I don't recognize them, I don't think there's been any people. I think it's just been a dinosaur society.
Yeah, right. Okay, sure.
For three or 3 billion, 3 million or 3 billion years.
That means that Biff, rather than being a weird, like, indestructible genetic line for some reason, yeah, Biff is in fact some sort of evil spirit.
Yes.
Like he's some sort of demonic entity that can just enter into like a dim-witted man or a dinosaur and just become it.
Yes.
That's disturbing. Yeah. And I love it.
It's all news to me. So basically they have to go back to in time. Nice. To stop them not destroying the meteor or whatever.
Oh, is Biff Tannen, is the Biff dinosaur portrayed by Tom Wilson?
I don't know.
Tom Wilson, USA?
I wish it was. I wish I knew. Maybe okay. You could look that up, Mason.
I have looked it up and it says it is.
Ah, great.
Well, Biff is. I don't know if dinosaur Biff is.
He'd have to be, right?
Mm, yeah.
Yeah, no, look, I wasn't watching that closely, to be honest. So they go back in time, but in the process, Biff dinosaur uses his tongue and he sticks onto the DeLorean.
I bet he does.
And they pull it like 100 feet and then they go through time and then he's just left there holding his tongue like just a whole lot of stretched taffy. Like it's just ruined. Like that is unusable. Well, I mean, look, he's about to be erased from time.
Yeah.
But that dinosaur's life is over.
Well, and the Biff entity has taken many bizarre forms, so I'm sure he's not that concerned. He's been many kinds of multidimensional eldritch
horrors. He's been a cowboy. Yep. He's been Donald Trump. He's been a future boy.
Exactly.
And a dinosaur, obviously. Yeah. So anyway, they bring the meteor back and the dumb one, you know, his dumb kid, whichever one is the dumb one, he's like, don't leave our friend the dinosaur, you know, the bird dinosaur. And Doc's like, listen, idiot, we can't take a dinosaur back with us to the future. So we're going to leave him
even
here.
Even
though it's the name of the show we're in. So we're going to leave him here, right? And the dinosaur's sad. But
okay, which of the brothers wears a coonskin cap?
The dumb one.
Okay, that's Vern.
Great.
Vern often uses his favorite insult, skunkhead.
Very good.
He's a Tannen. He's a Tannen kid, is all I'm saying.
Yeah, no kid of Doc Brown would wear one of those hats. Also, he's the skunkhead. He's wearing a dead animal on his head.
Right?
What's wrong with this guy?
I know, right? Anyway, continue.
So anyway, they leave the dinosaur, but the dinosaur gives them a little bit of a kind of thumbs up. Not really, but he's pretty happy about being obliterated.
Of course.
Because it is. And they get back to modern day Earth and Marty's there and he's like, hey, I'm still here. I'm irrelevant to this story. And then, I don't know. And then there's a little bird flies up and they're like, this bird just looks like that dinosaur we just left. So maybe it's its ancestor. Maybe it's got the spirit. Maybe it's got the spirit of Biff in it.
Sounds like a lot of learning to me.
Yeah.
Gross.
We'll buckle in, Mason, because as the episode wraps up, it cuts back to live action Doc Brown and he's like, what an adventure I had. This was fun. Marty! That's pretty
great,
good, right?
Great stuff. Yeah, good, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then it cuts to Bill Nye, the science guy, and then he does the lemon experiment. He's like, you can power a clock radio with this. And I'm like, this is fucking useless. This is useless information. It was useless then. It's useless now. Thanks a lot, Bill Nye.
Would you trust
the actor Bill
Nye? Would
you
trust a lemon-powered, like, alarm clock?
No.
Absolutely not. What if the lemons dry out overnight?
What if it runs out of juice?
Very good.
We have to end on that high note, don't we?
Yeah, absolutely. And by that, we're going to end everything. There's no more episodes of this, no more episodes of our podcast, The Weekly Planet.
It's out every Monday, though.
All right.
Got a whole back catalogue.
Yep.
And hopefully a front catalogue. That's linked below. We do this every Tuesday, and there's videos here every Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday. Why don't you give this a bloody subscribe, Mason?
Okay.
You've done it already?
Look, I haven't moved either of my hands to my phone to do that subscription thing that you mentioned.
Yep.
But trust me, I'm gonna.
And give it a like while you're at it, Mason.
Yep, gonna do that too.
I believe you.
Great.
Good.
I'm very trustworthy.
You certainly are. Thanks for watching this, guys. Sorry.
Grab that gem, you guys.
See you next time.
Wow, you really peed it out there. It's almost like you ran out of juice.
Hey!
Nice.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates. I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.